So our scripture this morning is two passages, the first in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 to 9, and the second from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Starting with Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though it's refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your salvation, the salvation of your souls. From Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you ever have those little Sunday school songs just pop into your brain? Seeing some nods. I think it's really quite cool that the Holy Spirit just tucks them away somewhere and hides them. And you don't think of them for years, and then something triggers one and pop right into your head. Well, I had that experience just this past week with the song Joy, 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 and not the rock and VBS one. That's always in my head. But the little, just little Sunday school ditty. I'm going to give you the lyrics, and I actually found a video, so it'll play in a second. But the lyrics are joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing. Joy, 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 his love to me is known. My sins are all forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. My heart is bubbling over with joy, joy, joy. Anyone else know that one? Really? Well, see, that's because I was in one of those crazy denominations. Anyway, I'm going to let Orion play it for us. Encapsulates how our heart should be every day, filled with joy. As we read, the Apostle Peter explained this to us. He said that though you've never seen Jesus, you love him. And even though we don't see him in our midst with our eyes, we believe in him. And we're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We love him, even though we haven't seen him. But this love doesn't originate with us. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. So God initiated the love. And as the little song says, his love to me is known. And that is so key. That once we know that we are loved by the Father, we in turn love the Father. So we love him even though we've never seen him. We believe in him, meaning that we believe that Jesus accomplished our forgiveness and redemption on the cross, and that because of his resurrection, we have eternal life, and that Jesus has brought us to the Father. Jesus said, there's no other way to the Father but through me. The little song says, my sins are all forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven. Peter says that we're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of our souls. This salvation and this love should fill our hearts with joy. Deep in the core of our being, we should all have this inexpressible and glorious joy. The good old King James Version calls it joy unspeakable. Meaning it's too profound to actually express in words. And even if we could somehow describe it, no one who hasn't experienced it would understand what you mean. When Jesus regarded the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure horrific torture and crucifixion. Because of the joy set before him. I mean, that's desirable and powerful. Now, Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, joy feeds perseverance, and it builds our confidence in God. Joy gives us courage and invigorates us. Joy is never dependent upon our circumstances, but is always grounded on the promises of God. It's grounded on our knowing we have salvation. It's grounded in knowing that the Father loves us. Now, recently, I experienced an example of this kind of joy. As many of you know, my father passed away last September. And despite the shock of his sudden passing and the sadness around it, I felt a resounding joy because I knew where my father was, and I realized that for the first time in his kind of miserable, unhappy life, he would know unconditional love. That he would be standing in the presence of Jesus, surrounded by love. And this made my heart bubble over in joy, despite the sadness of the circumstances. See, joy doesn't replace the other emotions that we feel kind of on the surface of living, but joy puts them into perspective, an internal perspective. I know many of you experience this because you say things like, I don't know how people get along in life without Jesus. That's an eternal perspective. And that's actually an expression of joy. To my sadness is temporary, but my dad's new residence is forever. And grief loses its grip when we have this joy unspeakable. This is the joy of the Lord giving me strength. Peter says, because we have this living hope, that's the hope of salvation through Jesus, and an inheritance waiting for us, we should greatly rejoice. We need to be heaven-minded a little more than earthly-minded. To See, that kind of rejoicing comes from deep within when we see with a heavenly perspective and our heart is bubbling over with the joy, joy, joy. Even the trials and the struggles that we all face on this earth cannot dampen our joy, because we know that God is in those trials and struggles, and that God will use those circumstances for good and for his perfect divine heavenly purpose. God will refine us to show us the genuineness of our faith, to grow our faith, to increase our witness and testimony, and to set us up for future glory. Joy unspeakable. We can really foster this joy when we follow the advice in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Do we do that? Or do we focus on all the troubles and the problems and the evil in the world? See, filling our minds with the good things actually focuses us on God, because it's his hand that brings about goodness. So things that are lovely and commendable and excellent and pure are things of God. And it lifts us. It fills us with joy. It stirs us in our spirits. And it enables us to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Joy helps us to do this because it strengthens us and increases our perseverance. This is why when Jesus finished explaining to his disciples all that was going to happen to him around his death, he told them of the torture, he told them of the crucifixion, he told them what was going to happen. And then he finishes his little story with these words: I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. It kind of doesn't make sense. He's just told them he's going to die a terrible, horrible death. And he's letting them know that so they'll be joyful when it happens. But it turns out that the joy would give them strength to persevere through the tough, dark days ahead, to persevere to the place of being martyred. See, from an earthly perspective, what was to happen to Jesus was horrific and troubling and would bring despair, not joy. And the disciples started there. They had to learn a little. They started in fear and despair. But when it became joy, it was their strength, their boldness. From a heavenly perspective, when we see what Jesus did, what he had to go through, we see eternal victory. A victory that changed the world. And thus, something to have joy over. Remember what the angel said when he met the shepherds: I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. It wasn't just the announcement of a baby that was bringing great joy, but the life of that man, and more importantly, the death of that man, would be the source of the joy. I wonder how different your life would be if whenever there was a trial or a struggle or just those unpleasant things that life can throw at us, you looked at God and thanked Him for the opportunity to have your faith refined a little bit more. What if we embraced all those kinds of circumstances with joy unspeakable? What if we thought, God's doing something, and it's for my good and for glory in the future? What if we lived this life with a heavenly perspective? It isn't all about us. It's about Jesus first, then others, and then yourself. I suppose if we could do that, we would truly know what it means to have our hearts bubbling over with joy. It's there. God put it in us. So don't let the weight of the world suffocate it. Trust God. Unload your cares and live from a place of joy. Because no matter what happens on this earth, your future is secured. Your inheritance is waiting for you. And there's a loving Father with His arms open wide, ready to embrace you. That's a good reason to live with joy. Let joy live in your heart and share the joy of Christ with all you meet. Share joy by seeing the good in each other. Share joy by remembering good times and hoping for good times to come. Share joy by praying for your world. In this Advent season, we need to see, feel, and share joy. We need to be people of joy.